Well, hello, welcome to the Christian Contrast, where we talk about how walking with Jesus leads us to live differently than those in the world around us. I'm Dan here with a solo episode, and I want to talk about something that is not new, but was freshly on my mind because of some reading that I was doing in 1 Corinthians. And if you're listening to this right about the time that we're putting it out, and you're part of Life Bible Fellowship Church, you may be reading through 1 Corinthians because that's part of our Bible reading plan right now. But in chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians, there's a famous passage where Paul talks about a problem that's emerged in Corinth. And that problem is that some people are saying, I follow Paul. And others are saying, I follow Apollos, who is another Christian teacher. I follow Peter. And there were these divisions happening within the church. And the way that I want to talk about this is in terms of relating it to something that we experience in our culture today, which is the idea of idolizing Christian leaders, or the idea that now we have Christian celebrities and celebrity pastors. Now, just to get it out of the way, it might be a little bit ironic that I'm talking about this subject on a podcast that we're putting up on YouTube. That's a little bit of the age that we live in. But I think that this is something that's really important to talk about because this has become, at least in my opinion, a big problem amongst Christians. And here's where the problem comes in. Because to a certain degree, you could say it's great that we have access to more Christian teaching than you used to have access for. You used to have access only to the teaching that was in a close enough proximity to where you lived, where you could go and you could hear it, or if you were literate, that you could get books and that the books were published and the books were distributed and you had enough money to buy them. Now, with all of the online resources, we have access to a lot more great Christian teaching. So we don't want to go back. We don't want to get away from that. But it can put us in a position where we end up sort of idolizing or following or even identifying with different Christian leaders and Christian movements. And part of it is a problem that it brings division, but also part of it is a problem because we can end up idolizing the person. And a couple of the problems that this brings up. First of all, this brings up the problem that once we sort of attach ourselves to our person, or to our team, or to our church, or to our organization, that we say that this is the one that I am of, this is the one that I follow and I belong to, we can be much more open to being deceived because we no longer think critically about them. We're no longer willing to critique them because that is the team that we are on. We like that pastor, we like that movement, we like that church, we like that denomination. But the other problem that comes along with this is the problem that we can end up devastated when we're let down by these leaders. Now, I'll talk about this. This can happen absolutely with a church or with a pastor that we know and with a church that we belong to. But I think that it can happen even more widely with an author that we're reading or a YouTuber that we're following, just because there's so much of a further reach that when there's a fall, when there's a disappointment, sometimes it's rampant hypocrisy that just undoes the entire ministry. And sometimes it might not be quite to that level, but you feel let down by something. It can be even more devastating because we find that we put a lot of trust in them. So I want to talk in this episode about how we make sure that we don't fall into this trap, how we fight against the culture of celebrity Christian leaders and celebrity pastors. And so what I have in this episode is I have just four pieces of advice, four pieces of counsel that I think are biblically grounded that can help us navigate this, because we don't want to just shut ourselves off from all the amazing books, amazing audiobooks, amazing podcasts, amazing videos, amazing teachers that are out there. But we also want to avoid the pitfalls of Christian celebrity. So most of this is going to be addressed just to all of us who consume and observe different things going on with Christian leaders around the world. But part of it is also going to be to some of us who are pastors or are Christian leaders and how we navigate that from our end as leaders. So piece of advice number one about how we fight against the culture of celebrity Christian leaders and how we fight the snares of all of that. Piece of advice number one is invest in your local church family. Now, as I already said, you could be totally unaware of the wider Christian world and you could still fall into the trap of idolizing a pastor or idolizing a Christian leader or even idolizing a church that you're a part of. This still can be something that you fall into. When Paul was writing 1 Corinthians, it was not in the internet age. but people still had their favorite pastor, their favorite teacher, and the person that they identified with. This still can happen in any age, but it seems like it can happen much more in our age, and it can happen much more when we have access to all sorts of pastors and leaders from around the world. And part of this is even just in maybe a little bit more subtle ways that this happens. We get to hear from the greatest speakers in the world. We get to hear their sermons or hear their speeches or read their books. And these are people that often are deeply gifted, gifted profoundly by God. And you might start to look at your local pastor or your local church, and suddenly you're not quite as impressed. You might even start to despise them, which can be so sad because this is a person entrusted with the care of your soul. We are not exempt from the culture of Christian celebrity and celebrity leaders within the church, but when you're heavily invested within your local congregation and not just a whole bunch of online ministry, there's at least a greater chance of you avoiding that pitfall. There's a greater chance of avoiding that pitfall because you're actually in interaction with the people in that ministry, and oftentimes with the Christian leaders within that ministry. And there's something about proximity. You can get fooled by somebody close to you, but it's a lot harder to get fooled by somebody close to you. You start to see them as they really are the more that you're around them. It's harder for them to hide who they really are. And so if you're deeply invested in the Christian community that God has called you to, in a local church, you're much more likely to be interacting with people where you are sort of seeing them for who they are. Where if all you're doing is reading somebody's book or all you're doing is watching a sermon or a podcast online, there's a much smaller chance that you're going to know if they're actually the real deal. When you're day in, day out with the people caring for your soul, you're much more likely not to fall into this trap. And beyond this, there's also a message for this for those of us who are pastors of local churches, because there can be a pull to this idea of Christian celebrity within the church, but especially outside, to not be satisfied with the idea that it's just my local congregation that I get to speak to. I want to be, as some people call, the pastor of the world. I want to be the pastor of the internet. I want everybody to hear these things. It's not wrong to do online ministry. Obviously, we're putting podcasts out online because we want people to hear good Christian content. But that can lead to a place where you almost despise your local congregation because they're not giving you the ego boost that you can get from all those views and all those clicks and those conferences that you get invited to and all of the wider ministry. As Christian leaders, we're meant to be invested primarily in the church that God has called us to. And as Christians, we're meant to be committed primarily to the church that God has called us to. So this doesn't get us out of a place where we can still idolize a pastor wrongly and then end up deeply let down, but we're much more likely to see things accurately, and we're much more likely also to get care for our souls if we're deeply invested in the local church God has called us to. I remember growing up, one of my closest friends was the son of the pastor of the church that we were a part of. And so I was at his house a lot. I was around the pastor a lot. My parents were also friends with their family, so we were around them a lot. The pastor was not a perfect guy, but man, he was the real deal. And being near to him allowed for me to see what that looked like for somebody to be the real deal. And it made my trust in him go way up. And it made my trust for church go way up because of that. So if we're looking to avoid the traps that we could fall into with the whole idea of celebrity Christian leaders and celebrity pastors, number one, be deeply invested in the local church. Number two, focus on response, not consumption. And what I mean is this. I listen to a lot of podcasts. I read a lot of books. I watch videos of different Christian speakers online. So I am not at all telling you don't do that. What I am saying is if you're doing that, focus more attention on the response that God is calling you to in response to the content that you've taken in rather than just consuming good content. You could be consuming 5, 10, 20 hours of solid content each week. Are you responding to it? Are you searching your heart and saying, God, how are you calling me to respond to this sermon, this online sermon that I just read to, this book that I just read? How are you calling me to respond to this versus, I really like this guy. I really like this speaker. I really like this author. I really enjoy their books. They're really gifted. They're really impressive. In the 1 Corinthians chapter 1 passage, one of the things that Paul says that really is striking is he says that he's glad he didn't baptize more of the church members in Corinth. He says he did baptize a few of them, but then he says in chapter 1, verse 17, Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel and to preach it not with eloquent words, so that the power of the cross might not be emptied. And what Paul is saying is not that it's bad to baptize someone. What Paul is basically saying is, I wasn't called to make converts of the Apostle Paul. I was called to point people to Jesus. Paul didn't want people to get done listening to a sermon that he gave or to a teaching that he gave and to say, man, Paul is really gifted. He didn't want them to be thinking about Paul at all. He wanted them to be thinking about Jesus. If the way that you're taking in content is making you think, man, I really like this author. I really like that sermon. I really like this channel. I really like this show. I really like this church. You're a step removed from where you're meant to be. Focus on response, not simply consumption. And this might drive you to slow down a little bit. This might mean that you're actually consuming fewer things because maybe you make a rule for yourself. Maybe you say, all right, for every online sermon or teaching that I hear, I'm going to force myself to take half an hour and journal or think or pray through how God is calling me to respond to this book, to this message, to this teaching, whatever it is. Because the whole idea of being exposed to that good content is so that I respond properly to it, not so that I continue to expose things that are interesting and stimulating to me. So if we want to avoid the traps of celebrity Christian leaders, number one, be heavily invested in your local church. Number two, focus more on your response to what you're taking in than simply to consuming more content. Piece of advice number three, be willing to critique and be willing to compliment anyone. We see the whole idea of being unable to do this, especially in the world of politics today, where you see it with the politicians, but you also see it with people who are on the different political teams, that if somebody is a Republican, they can have a lot of trouble critiquing Republicans and a lot of trouble giving any credit to Democrats. And if you talk to a Democrat, they can, especially with the president, have trouble ever saying anything positive about him, and they can have trouble saying anything negative about their own party. What this reveals when somebody is unwilling to critique and unwilling to compliment is that they're more captured by the idea of their association than they are being led by just truth and reason and facts. We want to make sure that we don't fall into this as believers. If we are unwilling to say something positive about maybe a Christian leader that on the whole does not align with us, you know, maybe we're Calvinist and they're Arminian, maybe we're Arminian and they're Calvinist, maybe we're charismatic and they're cessationist, whatever it might be, or maybe it's just somebody that on the whole you feel like this is not the best person. Are you willing still to acknowledge truth and good things when they participate in it? And in some ways, to me, maybe even more significantly, are we willing to critique Christian leaders who, on the whole, we admire and we benefit from if we feel like they get it wrong? You know, a while ago, I did a podcast episode on Tim Keller after he went home to be with the Lord. Tim Keller is one of my favorite Christian leaders that I've ever had the privilege of listening to and reading. It had a profound influence on my life, on my prayer life, on the way that I preach, on many, many things. I've read a lot of his books, listened to a lot of his sermons, really, really appreciate him. There were some things in particular towards the end of Tim Keller's ministry where I felt like he was getting some stuff wrong. I felt like most of it was sort of strategic. It was hard to tell how much of it was actually doctrinal and theological, but some of it was strategic. And I just think he was not interacting in a way that I thought was helpful for what was actually going on around us. And that was sad for me. And there was a time where I was sort of not wanting to acknowledge it. I was wanting to explain away every time I thought that he'd done something wrong by saying, no, if we really understand him. And eventually I had to come to a point of saying, hey, I think that he's so beneficial. I appreciate him so much. I think that he's just wrong on this. I think he's just mistaken on this. There was something liberating about that. It was scary to do because I almost felt like if this happens, I'm not sure what to do. I'm not sure who I can trust. I'm not sure how to handle this. That probably revealed that I had an unhealthy attachment to his teaching if I was unwilling to say, I love all that he says over here. Over here, I think that he gets something wrong. Now, the tricky thing about this one is that we don't simply want to be consumers. We don't simply want to be sort of ranking and evaluating everybody that we're reading and teaching. We want to be learning. We want to be growing. We want to be humble. We want to be open. But we also need to be willing to say, with our favorite authors, with our favorite Christian leaders, even with the pastors of our local churches, I'm going to be willing to at least admit to myself when I think that there's something that's off base. There are people in our church who just, and it's not simply disagreeing with me, it's more sort of disagreeing with where our church lands on different subjects, whether it has to do with end times, whether it has to do with sort of questions about masculinity and femininity, not core gospel issues, but issues where we have a teaching position as a church, and they're teaching positions that I agree with. I didn't necessarily write them all because this church existed for a long time before I did, but before I was here. But one of the things that I appreciate is that sometimes somebody will just come to me and say, yeah, I disagree with you guys on this. Or Dan, I disagree with you on this. I disagree with you on your take on the rapture. I disagree with Life Bible Fellowship Church's take on masculinity and femininity, on whether or not women can be elders or give sermons. But I still value this church and I still want to be a part of this church. That to me is healthy. Now, I may think they're wrong and they need to come along to our way of thinking, but in the end, that's healthy because that puts them in a position where they've been able to articulate a disagreement, but that hasn't led them to discount everything. And on the other hand, it means that they're in a position that they value the ministry and the teaching of the church, but that hasn't blinded them to be willing to disagree. Be willing to critique. Be willing to compliment. And if you find yourself starting to get sort of agitated or defensive or upset when you hear a critique of your favorite teacher or of your favorite author, pause and do a heart check on that and look to discern, is your defensiveness over that because you think that the person giving the critique is just off, or is it because you're not sure how to handle it if there's something that they said wrong or that they did wrong? Be willing to compliment, be willing to critique. And finally, fourth piece of advice. First of all, heavily invest in your local church. Secondly, focus on your response, not consumption. Thirdly, be willing to critique and be willing to compliment. And fourthly, diversify. Now, in some ways, there can be a danger to what I'm talking about here, because I already said, maybe we should be consuming a little bit less and responding more, slowing down a little bit. But I do want to say that I think that there's something positive about the diversification of Christian leaders and teachers that we hear from. In fact, one of the things that we value at our church is that I'm the one, 70 to 75% of the time, something like that, I'm the one who gives the Sunday sermons. But I am not the only one to give the Sunday sermons. We have several other pastors on our staff who occasionally get up and give the Sunday sermon. Beyond that, those pastors and those leaders are also teaching in different ministries of the church, whether it's the student ministry, men's ministry, women's ministry, college and career. So we're hearing from different people. There's something positive about that diversification there. Now, we all at our church, we're all aligned on sort of the big issues. There's a whole bunch of alignment in what we teach. But still, it would be unhealthy if I was the only one deemed capable or worthy of giving Bible teaching. That would limit things. It's helpful when people hear the same basic message from a bunch of different voices. because they emphasize different things, and it's a reminder that we're not just following one person or one pastor. We are following one Lord, but he has many people that he's gifted with teaching gifts. So I think this applies more broadly also. If you find that you have really zeroed in on, like, there is one author, or there is maybe even more dangerous, one YouTuber, one podcaster, one Christian leader that you don't know that's out there somewhere who has become your person. They're the go-to person that you go to when you have questions. You're listening to all of their content. You're sort of taking their grid for reality as what your grid for reality should be. I'm not even saying stop listening to them, but you would be wise to diversify. You would be wise to expand that to other solid Bible-believing Christian teachers. Not simply because they may end up bringing helpful correctives to your favorite teacher, but also because they're going to reinforce what's at the core through different voices and through different tactics. Diversify to protect yourself against putting all of your trust in one person. And one of the ways that this also helps is, again, some of us have ended up disillusioned, discouraged, even distraught over a Christian leader that has, you know, maybe on one end a flaw, and on the other end a major fall, just a major fall where wide hypocrisy is revealed. That can be devastating. And we're not meant to sort of live our lives and just trying to protect ourselves against the fact that we could be deeply sad over that. But what we don't want is for our faith to be so dependent upon that person that when they screw up, we don't know what to do. We don't trust in princes. We don't trust primarily even in pastors. We trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that means that we're going to be grieved, we're going to be sad, we're going to be disappointed, where we may have tears of grief if a Christian leader that we really enjoyed and benefited from has a fall of some sort. But we're not going to be undone because our faith is in Jesus, and because that wasn't the only one who can lead us closer to him. That's not the only one who can teach the Bible. That's not the only one who can guide us in how we respond to the situations that we find ourselves in. So at least for now, the whole idea of celebrity pastors and celebrity Christian leaders, it's not going anywhere. In some way, if you read 1 Corinthians, it was around even in the first century. That this is an instinct that we have. But we are wise if we behave in a way that we're protecting ourselves against the snares and the pitfalls that are involved with this culture. So number one, be heavily involved in your local church. Invest deeply in your local church. People that you know and people that know you. Make sure that you are willing to spend more time on your response than simply on the consumption of more Christian goods and services. Make sure that you're willing to critique and compliment any Christian leader or any Christian teacher. And finally, diversify the good, solid, Bible-believing voices that you're allowing in so that you're hearing more broadly and so that your trust is not just in one person. I hope that you found this helpful. Once again, this is something that's not going anywhere. This is something that we're all dealing with. And those of us who are Christian leaders, we should be looking to model this so that people are not primarily directed towards us, but who are directed towards the one that we're all pointing to, and that's Jesus. So if you have a comment, if you have a question, if you have feedback on this episode, feel free to leave that in the comments. You can find all the episodes of The Christian Contrast on our YouTube channel for Life Bible Fellowship Church, and also on our website for lbf.church. And so the heart of this podcast, the heart of The Christian Contrast, is that we want more great Bible teaching and Christian content out there for people who are looking to draw near and to follow Jesus. So if you found this helpful, we have other content that you can look at, and you can find back episodes of this. Don't make this the only voice that you're listening to, but maybe make this part of the rotation of voices that you're hearing from as you look to draw nearer to Jesus. So we'll be back in 2 weeks with another episode. Until then, thanks so much for taking the time to listen.